Good morning, ladies. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. It is Vav Shvat. I think it's January the 21st, I believe. So ladies, come. We are learning Le'ilui Nishmas on the Zecher Nishmas, Tzvi Gershom, Ben Yoel V'chana, Alav Hashem, as Neshama should have a continuous Aliyah in the merit of our learning, not in the merit of our learning, but also in the merit of our Be'ezos Hashem, striving to integrate our learning into our very being and essence. Halavai. And also, it's chos for shleimah, with your permission, for bracha v'gai basracha geta b'soch sh'archalei yisrael. So if you could please open up to the Tefillah Al HaDibur, which is inside from flap. We'll begin with the prayer for guarding our speech. Ribono shel olam, yehi ratzon lefanecha al rachum v'chanan, shetezakeni hayom uvechol yom lishmar pi ulashoni milashon hara urechilas. Hezaharim ledaber, afil alish yachid, v'kol shekein al klal yisrael, pro al chelek mechem, v'kol shekein mel yisraeim al midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hezaharim ledaber, divrei sheker, chanufa, machlokas, ka'as, gaiva, onas, dvarim, halbanas panim, leitzanus, v'chol dibur asur, v'zakeini shelo ledaber, kim daber hatzarich, v'inyane gufi, v'nafshi, v'yu kamasai, v'diburai, l'shem shamayim, amen. Okay, let us open up, please. I'll tell you what page we're on. I'm just going to my things here. I believe we're on page 86. Is that correct? Okay. Right, we're on page 86. I'm just going to make a shakal before we start.
Amen.
Okay. On the previous page, on page 84, just on the bottom, I was talking about Miriam. Just let's review and see. Moshe wasn't even makbid. I'm just reading the very last line on page 84. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't even makbid on the fact that they spoke Lashon Hara about him. And, you know, we're going to end, I hope, as just Hashem, with an interesting insight into that. Why was Miriam really so punished if Moshe wasn't... He wasn't makbid. He didn't take them to task. He totally forgave them because right after they speak Lashon Hara, tells us, "Vayish Moshe Adam Ol Mikol Adam Asher Al Pnei Adama." So he totally forgave them. Shenemer Vayish Oh Moshe Adam Ol. Top of page 86. V'afal Pikin Miad Net and Shabbat Tzras. Nevertheless, even though Moshe forgave them, nevertheless she was immediately stricken with Tzras. Kal v'chomer v'nei Adam Harishaim Hatipshim. How much more so? And she intended for good. Remember, I mentioned that many a time we saw the Ramban inside. She loved him like her soul, and she intended, when she spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe to Aaron, they intended for good, for the benefit of everybody. How much more so to mankind, the wicked ones, tipshim, the foolish ones, the unwise ones, who increase marbir, rov, to speak about great things, and we use our mouths to speak about many, many things, and not always the tova at all. Therefore, you know, it's funny, when I first read this, before I looked at the English, to be sure I was translating it correctly, I thought Archav was referring to his guests. I thought it's not. Archav is also paths. It means one who wants to stray in his ways. But it's an interesting, almost, play on words. Like, if you want to be usher, make sure that with your guests, I'm just saying a different perspective, that with your guests, it is positive. You know, it's such a fine line. Like, for example, we were recently in the company of some other people, so restaurants came up, and it's a very... What can you say? You had a good experience, you had a bad experience. So they mentioned what restaurants, or someone said, we did have such a good experience. So I said, it wasn't really a fair assessment. We were with other people, I didn't get to order what I wanted. Then they mentioned another restaurant, not such a good experience. So I said, well, I have a hearing loss. So it was just a very noisy environment for me. In other words, you know, it's very hard. Like, when could you even say that it was, I didn't want to sit and say I didn't have a good, even though mice, I didn't have a good experience. And I didn't really like the food, and I didn't like that they play non-Jewish music. I don't know, that's just a different thing. Why? Whatever. Okay, kosher restaurant, I don't know, fine. But I was trying to make it more that I did not have a positive experience, so that when you're sitting with your guests, this isn't the intention, but I'm telling you, when I first read it, I thought that's what it meant. And that is a strong Mr. Haska, that when you have guests in your home, we have to be sure what the topic of conversation is, the kaveh archam, to make sure that when you're with your guests, you have the achnasas archim, that should be straight. It's not so pasha. And nevertheless, that's not what the Chavetz Chaim means, even though we could derive a strong Moshe Haskel from that. Lefikach, ra'u l'mishu rotzu l'kavein arachav. Therefore, one who wants to straighten his path and his ways, l'hitzrachek me'yishivasan u'miladabri man. You see, it makes so much sense if it would be your guests. You don't want to sit amongst them and to speak negatively. But nevertheless, if you want to straighten your path and you want to stay away from a Moshe of Leitzim, you know, kapitel Aleph of Tehillim, the very first kapitel of Tehillim. The very first kapitel of Tehillim, David HaMelech, tells us, Ashrei Ha'ish, fortunate is the man, Asher Lo Halach, who does not go Ba'atzas Rishayim. You should not walk in the Atzas Rishayim, the advice of the wicked. V'derech Atem Lo Amar. If you walk to the wicked, you will come to, it goes from Halach to Amad to Yashav. What is it teaching you? There's a progression. If you walk with the wicked, you will come to stand amongst them. And if you come to stand amongst them, eventually you're going to sit down amongst them. Look what happened to Lo. He chose to sit with people who were ra'im v'chata'im la'Hashem ad ma'od Lo, when he chose to go to Sodom. He wasn't first Yoshev b'sha'ar Sodom. That's only when we open Perigates. Before that, he was Vayal ad Sodom. He was just at the border of Sodom. Then who Yoshev b'Sodom, and find Yoshev b'sha'ar Sodom. There is a progression to evil. So fortunate is he. Make sure you don't even walk hearing the advice of the wicked, because if you do, you're going to come to stand amongst them, and then you're going to have a seat at their table, and you're going to be full-fledged with them. Rather, says David HaMelech, the antidote to that is Besorah Hashem Chafzo. What should you desire all day?
What he wants.
Torah. What?
What he wants.
So therefore, what does that mean?
What Hashem wants.
Oh, he, meaning Hashem. Mm-hmm. So, Besoras Hashem Chafzo. Oh, very nice. Besoras Yagal Yaman V'layla. You desire to be with Hashem's portion, and therefore you desire to contemplate Torah all day and all night. That's really the antidote to what the Chavetz Chaim is speaking about here. If you want to straighten your paths, lehisrachek miyishivasan. You see why it made me think of Tehillim. Asher shalo halach betzas v'sha'im v'derech atem lo amad v'moshev leitzim lo yashav. You don't just come sit down at the table with the glossomongers. You have a progression together. Kadei shalo yitafes adam berishas v'sha'im. You don't want to grab onto the wickedness of the wicked people, v'sich lusam, and their foolishness. Maybe he had in mind. I can't even say that. These words bring to mind Kapita Alf of Tim. This is the way of the Yeshivas Leitzim Harashayim. Who wants to be in the Yeshivas Leitzim, the settlement and the dwelling place of the mockers and the wicked people? B'tchila marbim b'divrei havai. Look what he says. And now he says, even the Yeshiva Leitzim and Rashayim, those who sit amongst mockers and wicked people, they themselves don't start with the ultimate bad. What are they? B'tchila marbim. What does that mean? In the beginning, they're just talking about wasted words, foolish things. They're not even necessarily talking Lashon Hara. They're just talking about nothing. They're just talking about silliness. Ke'inyan Shenemar, as the Pasuk says. You understand what he's going to do? There's a progression into becoming a Baal or a Mesaper Lashon Hara. First, you just talk about silliness, as the Pasuk says in Kohelis, V'kol Kisil Berav Dvarim. The voice of the foolish person just talks about anything. We should just talk about anything. The next stage is that you start to speak about the disparagement of righteous people. So you go from just talking foolishness to someone mentioned such and such a person, and then you mention such and such a person. And then where do you go from? You go from talking foolishness, nothing, just wasted words, to talking about the gnai of the tzaddikim. So I want to quote. Is everyone with me? You with me? You're quiet today. Yeah? Okay. You know what we're talking about? There's a progression. You walk towards them, you stand amongst them, you sit amongst them. First, the group talks about just foolishness, just idle words, just wasted chatter, you just wasting their words. Then you go to Gnai of Tzadikim, and then you're going to see the end of the paragraph is, he comes from that to speak against God, the Kofrim Be'ikar. You can actually come from speaking negative about Tzadikim to deny the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I cut this out of the paper a few weeks ago, January 12th. Okay, you thought? Oh, so why are you smiling?
She always smiles.
What?
Because
why?
Alyssa always smiles.
Oh, I thought it was like with intent. Okay. I thought this is a question and answer. He has a column every week, Rabbi Yitzi Ross. He's a rabbi, I believe, good morning, at South Shore. Okay, so It's called Good Morning, Advice from Yid Parenting. That's the name of this column. And the title is Good Morning, What's Appropriate? But look at the title. Look, appropriate. Okay? What's app? Get it? What's app? What's appropriate? Play a bit. Question. And she doesn't sign her name. Private Brooklyn. I finally acquiesced. And this is not, I'm not going to start talking about getting kids' cell phones. That's not the point right now. This isn't even about kids. This is about parents. This is her question. I finally acquiesced and got my 8th grade daughter a cell phone. She came to me last night in tears, saying her entire class is a WhatsApp chat. She's the only one not in the groups, and she doesn't have a smartphone. In other words, they finally acquiesced. They got her a regular phone. She doesn't have a smartphone. I was shocked. I called the school. They told me they can't police what the girls do at home. That's a parenting issue. I'm so confused. Should I get her a smartphone so she isn't left out? Should I start calling other parents? Is it the school's responsibility? So I will just tell you the end point, which is not, I am not bringing it to you, but he does say that it's hard to send your child to a school where everybody, you know, in the class does a certain thing and they feel left out. No, but it's a long article. Verify that everyone really does have a smartphone. Teach them about the dangers of smartphone, etc. Verify your daughter's telling the truth. If, however, most, since I brought up the question, are all of the classes on the chat, I would give in. I understand many people disagree with me, but if you send your daughter to a school where everyone is doing something, it's unfair to expect her to be the odd man out. There are many ways to secure smartphone. I'm just pointing that as an aside, but that's not why I'm bringing it to you. Okay? Answer. You bring up an issue that is affecting many families. And right away he says, let's take a step back and look at WhatsApp. Before he even addresses the issue of should the child have a smartphone. Excuse me. This is an app that allows people to chat in a group, share pictures and videos, make phone calls and more. As a rabbi, I understand how dangerous this app can be, even in the hands of adults. I'm going to share a conversation that happened last year on a third grade chat. Okay? This is amongst the parents, not the third graders. I received this from a concerned parent. She was in Brooklyn, and to keep this appropriately confidential, we will call the rabbi Rabbi Farfel, so totally anonymous. There are 28 people on the chat. Here's how the transcript goes. Mother one. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Does anyone know the Hebrew homework? Mother two. I need it also. My son forgot it again. Mother three. I can't stand this homework. Too much, and the boys don't even know it. Mother two. You're telling me? Let Rabbi Farfel teach this in class. Why homework? Mother three. It's because he has no control in class. Do you see what just happened?
Right.
The first question with mother one, does anyone know the Hebrew homework? I'm on class chat. Do you know how common this question was posted? It went from that to the second mother saying, I also need it, my son forgot. To the third mother saying, I can't stand the homework too much. To the second mother saying, let Rabbi Farfel teach, why homework? To mother three saying, he has no control. My son tells me it's always crazy in the room. Mother one, the one who posted the question. I heard that also. I'm very unhappy this year. Mother four, this is the transcript. Does anyone have a good dietetic chicken recipe? I have a lot of, we're laughing, but mabuch for us. I have a lot of guests this Shabbos. Mother five, I agree with all of you. We should all complain to the yeshiva. It's time for a new rabbi. Mother two, I'm on board. This is ridiculous. We pay enough for tuition. Let him teach. Mother six, I'm in. My son spent 30 minutes on a writing assignment. Not fair to us. Mother seven, I have a great recipe, but it's handwritten. I'll message it to you. Mother eight, me too. Mother one, me too for the recipe or the Rebbe? Mother eight, both smiley face. Just like that, says Rabbi Ross, they are destroying the Rebbe. This Rebbe happens to be a very good Rebbe, and he has been teaching for quite a few years. Chicken recipe notwithstanding, the conversation was Lashon Hara and should never have happened. What really got me was the smiley face at the end. Ha ha! What could possibly be humorous about destroying a Rebbe's career? This is how he's answering. What was the original question? Should my daughter have a smartphone? What does he say? Should adults basically have a smartphone? That's what he's really saying. You're worried about your 8th grade daughter? He says, let's take a step back. This could have been dealt with simply. One of the parents could have posted a picture of the homework. Anyone who has an issue with the work level could contact the Rebbe. He obviously looked into it because he said he gave all the parents his email address and phone number in the beginning of the year. How difficult is it to send an email to him? This particular Rebbe would have responded very well from what I've heard. As a result, some yeshivas have started banning WhatsApp groups, but this is difficult to enforce and kind of silly. These are adults. It's not possible. It's simply not possible. My solution is a Rebbe. Also, what's his solution? This whole thing is still talking about what? Adults on WhatsApp. My solution as a Rebbe was to join the group together with the English teacher. So he and the English teacher of that grade ensure that they are on WhatsApp. But you know what the parents could do, of course? Start another one on the side, right? That what?
What did you... No, when I was a teacher a few years ago, I was a kindergarten teacher, and there was also a WhatsApp group, and some of the people didn't like the way it was heading like that. And they asked me as a teacher to join the group.
And?
And,
did you?
I did. I mean, they joined me onto the group so that it should be just, you know, whatever it is.
So that's what he says. He says he and the English teacher are the admins of the group. We respond to any pertinent questions. One Rebbe I spoke to acknowledged it's a great idea, but he refuses to get a smartphone. It's a tough call. And then he says, returning to your question. Okay? So obviously very, not only powerful, but obviously also very, very relevant. And in one instant, this Rebbe's reputation was destroyed, along with a conversation about the chicken recipe. And that's really what the Chofetz Chaim is saying here, that you don't start with slandering and, you know, a murderous campaign against somebody else. Start slowly when you chat about nothing. And this is because they weren't even chatting about nothing. But when you have a group of people together, what happens is it's very dangerous. From chatting about nothing, you can come to talk about the saper b'gnus tzadikim. That's exactly correct. You talk about for no reason at all. Gnai tzadikim, ke'inyan shenemar. As the Pasuk says in Kapitul Lamed Aleph of Tehillim, I'm in the middle of paragraph 1 on page 86. Any questions or comments? Te alamna sifse shaker hadovos al tzadik asak. This pasuk means seal the lying lips. Te amalna sifse shaker. Seal the lying lips. Hadovos who speak about tzadik asak. Who speak about a tzadik. So I want to quote Rav Shem Shafal Hirsch on Tehillim. Okay? Which speak injustice against the righteous person. Oh, the end of the pasuk, by the way, is begaiva uvavavuz. Begaiva uvavavuz. That's the end of the pasuk from Tehillim, who speak against the righteous tzaddik with pride. Gaiva uvuz. Vuz is like buzz, like make light of something. Okay, so Rav Shem Shafal Hirsch says, interesting, beautiful commentary on this pasuk. David HaMelech rectifies the following complaint, and that is as follows. People who whisper and erroneously conclude that the suffering and hostility can only come to a person who has been abandoned by God because of his wickedness. People complain that suffering and hostility comes to a person who's been abandoned by God because he is a wicked person. They do not know, in fact, how close Hashem is to the very person who they regard as forsaken by him. Sometimes we look at suffering and hostility and we think, Chas v'Shalom, that person has been abandoned by the world. That person has been abandoned by the Ribbono Shel Olam. But Rav Shem Shafal Hirsch says it's the very opposite. They don't know, how, in fact, how close Hashem is, God is, to the person who they regard as forsaken by him. They know nothing of the quiet bliss and secret peace of the righteous man. Because in the midst of all his suffering, he derives a certain sense of menuchas ha-nefesh, tranquility from God's nearness. So it's just a different spin. It's not related really to what the Chafetz Chaim is saying. Maybe it is related to what the Chafetz Chaim is saying. If a person recognizes that Hashem is with every person, then they will come to close their lips in speaking of deceit and speaking not nice and speaking about gnai and disparagement. They will close their lips from gaiva. They will close their lips from leitzanus. If you recognize that the person who you think is forsaken by God is actually very close to God, they know nothing of the quiet bliss, the secret peace within the righteous man. The lips of deceit must be silent. The lips that speak injustice, in pride, gaiva, and contempt, booze against the righteous man. They see him suffer. They have pride, gaiva, they think they are infinitely happier and better than he. And they have contempt, booze, because they believe he is much less happy and worse off than they are. But if a person recognizes that everyone is with Hashem, the rejected, I'm putting that in quotes, the rejected person with Hashem, the successful person with Hashem, the person we perceive to not be successful with Hashem, then you will obviously close your mouth. Alam nasif se sheker. You will close your lips of deceit. You have nothing negative to say about the tzaddik, about the righteous person. There is no gaiva, there is no booze. When we talk kachiyal and herga ledaber benuviim, velaseis dofi bedivrehim, and once you come to talk about nothing, and then you come to disparage the tzaddikim, then you will come to deny, you speak negatively about the prophets, ka'inin shenemar, vayihiyu mal'ivim b'malcha elokim, they would make a mockery of the messengers of God, uvozim dvarav, it's the same word that ends this pasuk of Tehillim, and they would make a lighter, a mockery of his words, umeta'itim b'nivi'av, and that means ridicule the prophets. There is a very slippery slope that once you start to fall down the cliff, you may even end up coming to talk about who?
Hashem.
And you can be a kofer be'ikar means one who denies the supremacy, one who denies all kinyan shenemar. Vayechapu b'nei Yisrael dvarim asher lo kein al Hashem Elokim. It's from Malachim. The b'nei Yisrael fabricated stories. They told nothingness about Hashem, which was not so. So you come first, you speak about nothing. Then you speak about tzaddikim. Then you deny the words of the prophets. And ultimately, you can even come to talk about the Ribbono Shel Olam. But if you recognize that everything is from the Ribbono Shel Olam, those who suffer and those who don't. Those who are in tranquility and those who are not. Those who are wealthy and those who are not. Then you have nothing to speak about. Then, says Rav Shalom Shef Al Hirsch, you will close your lips. Vaharehu Omer. Shatu B'Shemai. Any questions or comments? Vaharehu Omer. Shatu B'Shemai. Pium Ulishonem Tihalech Ba'aretz. It's also from Tehillim. They raise their mouth against Hashem in heaven. Shatu B'Shemai. Pihem Ulishonem Tihalech Ba'aretz. While their tongues strutted on earth. Halach. Their tongues walked on earth while they put their mouths against Hashem. Mi garam lehem lashis b'shamayim pihem. Who caused them to raise their mouth against heaven? Lashonam shahalcha techila ba'aretz. So there's a progression. Once again, the same idea. That if you let your mouth, your tongue, walk with abandon, walk with randomness, walk wherever you want, your tongue goes wherever it wants on earth, you will ultimately come to raise your mouth against Hashem. On the one hand, it seems so far-fetched to us. Who's going to talk Lashon Hara about Hashem? But on the other hand, when we see nisyonos or suffering or things we can't understand, what's going on here? Why did this happen to a person? What are you really saying? Hashem, do you really know what you're doing? This doesn't make sense to me, finite, limited, here today in the cave or tomorrow, man. So do you really know what you're doing? And we wonder about the ways of Hashem. In a sense, what are we really doing? What are we really doing? But if you always see the good, remember how we punctuate that pasuk, quoting again from Tzilm, if you desire life and you love days, if you always see good, then you see good in fellow man, and then you see good in the Ribbono Shel Olam. But if you don't see good in fellow man, who is created in the image of God, that it's not a far cry to what, go from there to what? Slandering or wondering about or talking about the ways of Hashem. How could he have done this? Meaning he with a capital H. How could he put me in such a matzav? How could he put that person in such a matzav? So what am I saying? I'm saying that my vision is more foresighted than God's vision. So on the Parsha Pshat, it seems strange. Who sits and talks Lashon Hara about Hashem? But if we start to think about it and be actually honest, we do hear or sometimes think or come across wonderings about the workings of the world. Come on, say something.
No, it's just, it's very hard because there's not a day that goes by that I don't think of that Sassoon family and Mrs. Sassoon. And it's very hard to see the good in that, no matter how you slice it.
Right.
We know there is, we just can't see it.
Right. And that Zahn family, I heard the two children are still very critical condition in the hospital.
The young man who was killed last week.
What?
Oh my gosh.
The young man who was killed last week in Israel with the five children.
Raziel Shavach, six children, you're right. That's what we're saying. It's very hard. But what I'm just trying to reiterate and bring home the point is that when the Chofetz Chaim, you know, we think, oh, I don't sit in the Moshe of Leitzim. I'm not talking, maybe I'm talking about Divrei Havai, but I'm not talking about Gnus Tzadikim, but maybe these people, this could be me also, maybe this on this WhatsApp group also think they're not talking about Gnus Tzadikim. And maybe they also think they're not denying the words of the Navi. You know, what does it mean, deny the words of the Navi? Is it really going to ever happen? Mini kolich mi bechu, mi naich mi dima. Is it really going to happen? V'shavu banim l'gvul. I'm like, okay, how long of Jews sometimes I think that three times a day we're saying return to Yerushalayim, your city, in peace. How long? How many Jews? How many tears? And then you can come to speak about God. God forbid, say anyone hears a kofar birka, we shouldn't think that of ourselves, but you're right. But in, there's a little book about, it's almost like a little conscious, it's eulogies for the Harnof Kedoshim. Not the biography of Moshe Tversky written by his Talmud, Rav Yeshua Ber Machamis, but I message, lessons, and inspiration. It's very small. It's Feldheim. It's if you're able to get it, it's very impactful. It's Hespedim given after the Harnof of Kedoshim. So in one of the Hespedim for Rav Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yikom Damo, Zecher Tzadik Kol Shivracha, so a Talmud writes that we are like on the outside of the operating room. This is really in regard to what you said, Alyssa. Excuse me, we're on the outside of the operating room, and there's a little keyhole. And you're looking through the keyhole, and you see someone taking a knife and cutting into the person, and you want to scream out, you're cutting that person. What are you doing? How could you cut off that person's ear? I don't know. How could you open that, cut into that person's heart? You must be stabbing them. We only see through the keyhole. That's where it's brought down living on. Of course, we don't see the bigger picture, but it's very, very difficult. We don't know. We don't have answers. And we just have to be very careful. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to all of us. Chavetz Chaim's talking to all of us. We have to be very careful that we don't come to speak about Be'elokim v'kofrim be'ikar. Because if everything's from the Ribbono Shel Olam, kol da'avid rachma latav avid, if everything that God did is somehow for the good, even though I cannot fathom, I cannot understand, it's beyond any fragment of my comprehension. Risa Rahman writes, another book I highly recommend, it's called Tara and Amuna in Harnof. Her husband, talking about the Harnof Kedoshim, her husband was the last of the Harnof Kedoshim to be Nifter. But she writes, she realized that people find God in their challenges because they realize how small they are. Makes us realize really how limited is my scope of anything, understanding, intelligence. You know, we think we're so smart and we're so powerful and put man on the moon and we have medical revolutions. Well, Isa, how big are we? And we have to be careful. We have to be very careful. Anything else? Very valid points. We don't really have answers. We don't know. V'harei hu omer. As the pasuk says, going back to the film. Oh, we're in the middle of this. Okay. What caused their mouths to speak against God? That they let their tongues go all over the earth. So if you let your tongue go all over the earth, eventually you're going to talk about God. So he sicha sarashayim. This is the sicha, the conversation of the wicked. Shego remes lam yeshivas karanos. It causes you to sit. Instead of being in yeshivas base medrash, you sit in yeshivas karanos. You sit at the street corners. It's a person who hangs out either, by the way, proverbially, or literally on the street corners. Very beautiful, Rav. Aaron Lichtenstein has a beautiful piece on yeshivas, base medrash, and yeshivas karanos. And he says a person could be technically sitting on the base medrash and be a yoshev karanos, and a person could be out working and be a yoshev base medrash. It's not necessarily literally where you are sitting. It's your attitude to life, how you approach things, where you are sitting, where you're sitting. You understand? It is beautiful. You could be a person who sits in the base medrash, we should never know, and be a yoshev karanos, and you could be a person who sits in the street corner, you go to work every day, and you have a store, and you open up, and you could really be a yoshev base medrash. V'yeshivas k'nisyo shel amei ha'aretz. Who wants to sit in the gatherings of the amei ha'aretz? It literally means the nations of the earth, but we know that it is an ignoramus, sittings with the ignoramus. V'yeshivas bate mishtaos im shosei shecha. Look at this, with the people who drink hard alcohol, drink liquor. Okay, so where do you want to go? And it's interesting because when wine goes in, the Gemara says, when wine goes in, I don't know the lashon of the Gemara, but in English it's, when wine goes in, secrets come out. And sometimes the secrets come out are things that should not really come out. So do you want to sit with those people? That's what the Chafetz Chaim said. You want to be the street corner dweller? You want to sit with the Amei Ha'aretz? You want to sit with those drunkens? And then all their secrets come out. Aval sichas kishei re'Yisrael. The conversation of the kosher ones in Israel. Eina el b'divrei Torah v'chachma. You know, it's a strong lesson that we should pay attention when you're hanging out with people, whether it's in shul, or if it's at a Shabbos meal, or if it's in any social gathering, or if it's at a simcha, or it's in the supermarket. Pay attention to what you're talking about with the person. Just try and pay attention to what you're speaking about with the person. You know, I was speaking to my husband about something last night. Remember, I've quoted many times from Rav Naftali White, because I think it's very important, psak, to repeat over and over, that if you have a matzav, that you would otherwise be considered lashon hara, may you vent to your spouse or a close confidant to get things off your chest. Remember what he said? You may, to that person, let's say your spouse, a close confidant, be sure the words are absolutely true, not exaggerated anywhere, no harm will come to the other person, etc. I was speaking to my husband something yesterday that a husband and wife could absolutely speak about that did involve another person, but it was very important. But the point is, in the middle of the conversation, I wanted to add something else that this person does that annoys me, that was totally not relevant to the conversation. But, you know, once you're already talking, that's what he said. Make sure it's not exaggerated, not hearsay. You know the facts firsthand. And I did. And I said to myself in my head, you don't have to add that. That adds nothing. There is no to'elus for this. It was very important. He helped me through something that's not important. I didn't add that extra thing. And I really wanted to. But why? That was just for gnai. That wasn't going to further the conversation. There was zero to'elus. It wasn't gnai. It's just because I wanted to say something not nice. Because I was already talking about something not nice that they did in the first place. And I did it. It's very hard. We have to try always to be speaking divrei Torah v'chachma, not only divrei Torah, but to use your wisdom. Because the speech of the righteous is always striving to speak in Torah and chachma, Hashem helps them, as the Gemara famously says, "Bali tar misayin osu." If you want to be purified, Hashem will help you, and you have to know that Hashem will help you. He will be mezaka you. Az nidbru yirei Hashem. Then those who fear God spoke ish avayeu, each man to his friend, vayakshev Hashem Vayisham, Hashem pay attention, and he heard Vayikasev Sefer Zikron Lefarav. He wrote in the book of remembrances before him for those who fear God, those who contemplate his name. Okay, let's go on. What should I do? I'm going to stop. We're not going to start a new page because I'm going to see, did I say Bli Neder we're going to end with? I said I hope we're going to end with something from False Facts and True Rumors, right? Okay. I said I hope. I think we're going to get to it next time because I want to finish the chapter with that. So what I'm going to do is just read something from Living Amuna. We have to see what page. I have all my stickies. So I need to see what page it is that I want to tell you. Sean, 1 second, ladies. Okay, so we've been talking about staying away from negative speech. On the flip side of staying away from negative speech, of course, is engaging in positive speech. So just to end on a more positive note, because we all have the capability within us not only to refrain from negative, but to be involved in positive, to make sure that the same tongue that could negate the value of a righteous person, Chalila v'chas, come to slander against the Ribono Shel'am Kaviyachal, as if it were possible, can also use our words to build up. So this is from Living Amuna 3, and the section is called Words Can Save Lives. Words of Chizuk are powerful. He's talking about the positivity in speech. So I think that it's important to end with this before we get to lesson a day. They can take a person who is down and out and lift him up. They can change lives. They can give people, look at the power of words. It's like they're actual physical, almost like a physical tool. On the one hand, you could kill somebody. On the other hand, like they did to that rabbi, like we spoke last time about the pizza shop that actually had to sell its business. On the one hand, we could destroy a person. On the other hand, you could literally change lives, give hope. Most people don't have the opportunity to physically save a life. But we all have the ability to enable others to live lives with peace of mind and happiness. And with words alone, we can accomplish this. Words can bring life. When Hashem gave Adam a soul, the Targum tells us, we've quoted many times, it was the soul that God gave, which was Adam's ability to speak. The Ruach Memalala. Adam became a speaking spirit. Speech is a godly attribute. A few words of encouragement can go very far. Rav Moshe Tuvia Lev told about, listen to the story. Then he relates a story from Moshe Tuvia Lev. Told a story about a boy named Shlomo. He was diagnosed, Rachmana Letzlan, with cancer at the age of 8. He was not given much hope. He battled the disease. For years, Baruch Hashem, he survived. He got married. At the age of 30, he was told he was healed. He made a suicide from 8 to 30. A meal of gratitude for family and friends. He got up to speak to publicly thank Hashem. And he said, I need to thank my pediatric oncologist who is here today. Unbeknownst to him, he played a major role in my recovery. It was not the treatments. It was not the medication. It was obviously, but aside from that, it was something that happened during a visit to the office when my health was deteriorating. My situation is very bleak. I overheard the doctor whisper to the nurse, you see that boy, he's a strong boy. He's going to survive. He's going to live. I'm telling you, he's a strong boy. He's going to live. Every time a situation seems so difficult for me to handle, I remember the doctor's words. I willed myself to survive. Shlomo sat down. The doctor, the pediatric oncologist, who was not scheduled to speak, got up and said, could he say a few words? I have to tell the truth. The story is not exactly as Shlomo related. I did not believe Shlomo was going to survive. When Shlomo was leaving my office, I think there was another boy with a similar illness entering. I was speaking to the nurse about that boy who had a better prognosis. He was strong. He was going to live. But Shlomo heard me. He thought I was referring to him. And it gave him the will to fight for his life. The words spoken by that doctor years earlier, unintentionally, brought life to this person. So imagine the words, just like Miriam spoke unintentionally and she was punished. This doctor spoke unintentionally, and what was the reward? Absolutely life. Imagine words that are uttered with intention. Either negative words, chalila, that you're literally killing a person, or intentionally building up a person. The power of words of Amuna, he says, is amazing. But everything that we speak positively is really words of Amuna. Because if everything's from Hashem, and we really live with that, then you always speak positively. If someone receives a negative report, they should be told we're not bound by doctors. So he's specifically speaking about such a situation. We have a bari refuas. But you know, refuah, we say refuas ha-nefesh, refuas ha-guf. Isn't it interesting that you say refuas ha-nefesh first, before refuas ha-guf? That words can also bring someone refuas ha-nefesh, a tranquility and a restoring of life to a sick soul. Words can change attitudes. They could give person the person's strength, the belief to pray, to do everything possible to bring himself about a recovery. Okay. With that, any questions or comments? Nothing? Everyone's okay? That you're afraid to talk? That's a joke. Okay. Accusations against beasts. I just want to see one thing. Okay. If one witnessed a crime, which subsequently came to be seen, rabbinic court, and the accused was acquitted of any wrongdoing, it is forbidden to voice criticism of the Beistin's ruling. So let's say you saw the crime, the person perpetrated the crime, and you absolutely believe that that person is correct, and then it comes before Beistin, and the Beistin says that he is not chayav, so you can't say anything about Beistin. Imagine how hard that is. Imagine the level that we're talking about. But how could it be that they say he's exonerated of the crime? I saw him do the crime. This once again goes back to our limited judgment being pitched against the judgment of Torah and Halacha. Well, I must assume if the court comprised of Torah scholars, remember the Chavetz Chaim says, if you first talk about nothing, you come to disparage Torah scholars. If the court comprised of Torah scholars has done its best to ascertain the facts and is prescribed by Halacha, and they have ruled in accordance with Jewish law, and you were the sole witness to the crime, then you have to remember your testimony is invalid, no matter how convincing your arguments are. It doesn't matter what you think you saw. You were the sole witness. So there has to be two witnesses. Furthermore, even when it comes to see the moon, there has to be two witnesses. So never mind when you're judging another person. Here you're talking about, oh, is the moon new or is the moon not new? You can't even rely on one person. You have to rely on two. That's for the moon. It's a piece of rock. I know it determines our lunar schedule, but let's say you're 24 hours off, you need two. So what about a person? So you think you're absolutely sure you did. You don't know what you saw. Furthermore, one must come to... And by the way, okay, even though none of us, I don't think, are... Generally, we're not going to land in Beistin based on things that we saw. We go around the whole... This has very practical relevance because we go around the whole day judging people in our heads. This is extreme practical relevance. The whole day we see someone doing this, we think they're doing this. We see someone doing that, we think they're doing that. The whole day. This is totally anonymous. I have no idea who it is. But this is an interesting Mr. Haska about not even judging ourselves, perhaps. My husband told me he was in Costco. My husband was in Costco last week with my one of the boys. But today they're 12, Baruch Hashem. So he was in the returns line. It says there was a long line. So there was a frum woman behind him. And they started talking, etc. I don't remember what she was returning. And then after some time, because there was a long line, there was another man who came in. My husband said he looked to be middle-aged, 50s, 60s. I thought at first when he told me the story, he meant like a younger Shibach. He was returning a TV. Right. And he says about himself. He first started over here with my husband, with my son and this woman we're talking about. He said, very nice day. She asked my son what he's doing on his winter vacation. Very nice. The man starts saying, I have no idea who this person is. My husband, I don't think he knows who he is. What's going to happen if my Rebbe sees me with a TV? What's going to happen if my Rosh Shiva sees me returning the TV? He kept over and over saying. So I said, I thought my husband meant that he was like, must be 18, 19, 20. My husband said, no, he was a middle-aged person, 50, 60, kept saying. So I said to my husband, you know, it's such a strong Mr. Haskell for us. Forget that guy and who he is. We're so worried about what people think when they judge us. I don't even think that Hashem is standing here next to me. What if Hashem sees me? Now, but my husband said to him, listen, if you want to have a TV, so you have a TV. He said, stop worrying about what your rabbi is going to think. My husband said that to him. So I said, so what did he say? He said, he was quiet after that. I said, it's such a strong Mr. Haska. I'm so worried sometimes about the judgments that other people pass against me. I'm taking Mr. Haska for myself, that I stop and forget that who's really watching me all the time. Bonus Olam. That's insane. If you think it's okay to have a TV, so you have a TV, that's fine. If you think it's not okay, just stop talking about what is your rabbi going to say. It's a very strong lesson for us. We go around all day judging ourselves, judging others, but we have to remember that there's one judge. And so Shofei HaShoftim. And it's his measures that we're held up against. So if I'm one witness on the Torah, the halacha that God puts as something else, then I can't. It doesn't matter how right I think I am. I'm not right. Even if it seems wrong, so now I can't go out and slander the perpetrator of the crime, and I can't slander the Beistin. And again, once again, it comes back to us. We have to make sure when we're so busy passing judgments, we don't really know the full story. Furthermore, one must come to terms with the reality that humans are limited in their ability to determine and carry out absolute justice, which is what we just said. Whether you're in court or whether you're in Costco, you're a human being. Ultimately, it's in Hashem's power to correct social injustice. Certainly, one who loses a court case cannot possibly be objective in his evaluation of the beastie. So let's say you're the losing party, right? Now, of course, you can't be. Someone just texted me last week, what does Nogeya Bedavar mean? So I said, Nogeya Bedavar means subjectivity. For example, you can be, I said, you can't be a judge in a court case if your family member is in front of court. You're no gay of bedavar. So now you're not objective anymore. The practice of raising questions as to the competence of beistin or accusing the judge of bias is blatant hotzei shema. Once you lost, but because you're totally no gay bedavar. Nevertheless, if one suspects that the ruling was the result of an error in the legal process, you could seek the advice of a rav and ask that he investigate the matter further. So there are ways to go about things. Let's say you really think that you were wrong. So to go around slandering around town or on WhatsApp groups is not appropriate. There's a way to approach things. I'm just going to finish. Instead of going to the next halacha, I actually want to read this. Our sages teach Lashon Hara kills three, and I think this sums up what we've spoken about so much today. The speaker, the listener, and the person being discussed. A gossip monger causes many to sin all at once, for it is his way to assemble a crowd to get them to hear his latest piece of gossip. The gossip monger is deft in the art of making his reports intriguing and convincing. His listeners accept his words as fact. And in most cases, spread the news to others, and it's true. Do you ever wonder if something's so convincing, maybe it really wasn't true? Maybe it should be down the kaf schus to the other person? He has such a craft, such a way, such an art that he makes you believe. It's like a magician. He pulls the wool right over your eyes. Moreover, those who take pleasure in listening to gossip often adopt the ways of the gossip monger as they go on spreading it further. Words cannot adequately depict the depth. Words cannot adequately depict the depth of the gossip monger's sin. Words, isn't it funny? Cannot adequately depict. He sinned with words. Words cannot be used to describe his sin. His words bring untold harm to himself, to all those who accept and relate Lashon Hara because of them. So if I, Chas Hashem, speak Lashon Hara, And then 10 people speak it further because of me. I am responsible for all of those 10 people. And they all post it on a WhatsApp group. And then all those people go, I'm responsible for every single person who passed on Lashon Hara. I say, I'm responsible. That's terrifying. His crime is compounded as he spices his words with mockery. We talk about Leitzanus. That's one of the things we say in the Dibur Aser. And lies, sheker, which even if not disparaging, are nonetheless forbidden. So you think a joke's a joke. A joke is not necessarily just a joke. The Mishnah states, Torah punishes one who joins transgressors like the transgressors himself. That's from Mishnah Makkah. Surely, whoever willingly joins the gossip mongers group will stand judgment for this. So if it goes back to, it sums up Rokas. Ashrei Shushalo Halach Batas Rashaim. V'derachataim lo amad, v'moshav leitzim lo yashav. If you join their group, you first walk their path, and you stood on the Yoshev Karanos, you stood on the street corners with them, to finally, like, lo Yoshev b'sha'ar sodom, you just had a seat. And you will stand in judgment. Who will you stand in judgment for? The shofir. You're going to stand not before your rabbi, maybe you will. Not before your Rosh Hashiva, maybe you will. Not before your neighbor. Not before the person who's called for the shidduch resume. What will they say if they see for the TV? Ultimately, you're going to stand judgment. If you think it's fine, it's fine. But if you think it's not fine before your rabbi, then what about the fact that Hashem's with you? You have to judge for yourself. That's fine. But let's be honest with ourselves. Because ultimately, you will stand in judgment before the Ribbono Shel Olam. You'll be inscribed above as belonging to the fraternity of Akinah. So Be'ezras Hashem, as we say every time, we should have a lot of siyata d'shmaya to make sure that our words build life, whether it's literally or proverbially, and not chalila other way. Does anyone have questions or comments? Okay, I wish you, yeah, questions or comments? No? Abisur is tovus to everybody. A lot of siyata d'shmaya.